Whether it was President-elect Trump winning the White House or Republicans taking control of the U.S. Senate, the 2024 election went about as well as it could have for the GOP. And nowhere did Republicans pick up more seats in a state legislature than in the little blue state of Vermont. Later this morning, the new legislature gavels in for the 2025 legislative session. And Vermont Public Capital Bureau reporter Pete Hirschfeld is here to give us a taste of what's in store. Hey, Pete.
Good morning, Jen.
Pete, it is only day one of the legislative session, but there's already some potential drama in store. House Speaker Jill Krowinski and Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth are both facing a challenge for their leadership positions. Pete, what are the chances they'll be defeated today?
So I have some breaking news for you, Jen. I was able to confirm with Franklin County Republican Senator Randy Brock early this morning that he has dropped his bid for pro tem. So Phil Baruth no longer faces a challenger. We'll have some updates at VermontPublic.org for folks later today about why he made that decision. But Jill Krowinski still faces a challenge from independent representative from Dover named Laura Sebelia. And it's a very well-organized and well-funded challenge at that. Sebelia's pitch to her fellow lawmakers is that the House has done an ineffective job messaging its work, messaging its priorities to regular Vermonters, and that House leadership has not worked effectively with Republican Governor Phil Scott. This race is going to be conducted by secret ballot. That leaves room for the sorts of behind-the-scenes machinations that ought to make any incumbent nervous. But Krowinski, as well as her leadership team, is signaling that they're pretty confident heading into today's vote. Sebelia would need to convince a lot of Democrats and almost all Republicans and progressives and independents to support her candidacy in order to win. But over the past few weeks, Krowinski has tried to negotiate a power-sharing agreement with Republicans that she thinks will give her the votes she needs today to retain the speaker's post. This race for speaker, it's definitely the headline act for opening day of the session. The top line result is going to be the most important outcome, obviously, but a lot of folks are going to be paying close attention to the vote count to see how broad or how thin the coalition is for whoever wins this contest.
Well, fascinating already on the start of the legislative session. Thanks for breaking that news. Pete, what does the challenge then to House Speaker Jill Krowinski tell us about the balance of power in Montpelier?
So even if Krowinski hangs on to her position, this challenge, as well as the drop challenge by Randy Brock, frankly, are symptomatic of a legislative environment that's been destabilized by enormous turnover over the past two election cycles. We've seen the departure of dozens of longtime, well-connected, institutional lawmakers. Some of those were planned. Some lost their seats unexpectedly in November. That's left a lot of power up for grabs in the legislature, and there are a lot of lawmakers in all parties who want a piece of it. You're going to see a lot more Republicans sitting in committee chairs this year than last year. You're going to see more Republicans sitting on some of those key tax and budget committees that get to review major legislation. And that is one sure sign of the political winds shifting in Montpelier.
All eyes will be on Republican Governor Phil Scott tomorrow afternoon when he delivers his fifth inaugural address. Pete, what can we expect to hear from the governor tomorrow?
Jen, this past election, it was all about property taxes and education for the most part, and you're going to hear that theme broadcast emphatically by the governor tomorrow. Phil Scott is going to diagnose the problem as he sees it in the education system, and the governor sent an email to lawmakers last week in which he said he'll be unveiling what he calls a, quote, transformative education reform proposal. We won't necessarily see the governor detail the finer points of that plan tomorrow, but based on some correspondences that we've seen, Phil Scott is going to be asking lawmakers to make some major changes to the system as we know it. He wants to substantially overhaul the governance of public schools to create a system where single governance entities are overseeing much larger groupings of high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools. He wants to change the way that school budgets are determined. He wants to change, in some cases, the people who are making those spending decisions. He says he wants to make changes to income sensitivity, to increase access to pre-K and after school, and ramp up capacity in tech ed centers. We're going to begin to get a taste of what the governor has in mind when he delivers his inaugural address, and there will be much more coming on that front in the weeks between now and his budget address.
I imagine so, Pete. That is a lot of change. Okay, well, I know it's a busy day for you, so one more question. What else should we be keeping an eye on during these early days of the legislative session?
You know, big picture, one outstanding question as of now is how are the Republican governor and this newly constituted legislative branch going to work together or not work together? Republicans made historic gains in both the House and Senate on Election Day. Democrats have lost their supermajorities. And that means the road to any major legislative policy this year is going to require bipartisan consensus. Vermont, as we all know, faces some enormous challenges right now in healthcare, education, housing, energy policy. Democrats and Republicans can either set their differences aside over the next 2 years and make serious concessions on both sides in order to reach that bipartisan consensus, or they can prepare for battle in the next election cycle in 2026. And we'll probably begin to get some indications early on in this session of which of those directions we might be heading in.